Let's enjoy today's message by Sam Adeyemi.
All right, let's pray as we go into God's word today. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this awesome day, and we ask that you open the windows of heaven, pour out your wisdom, pour out your revelation, and let the power of your Spirit rest upon us for the manifestation of your word in our lives. In this service, we receive healing. In this service, we receive deliverance from every form of oppression. And in this service, we receive empowerment, Lord, to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We declare nothing shall by any means hurt us. Thank you for the victory that we have in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, today we begin a new series of discussions titled Walking in Victory. Walking in Victory. Let's read from 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It's a beautiful passage of scripture that I love to read all the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Are you there? Let's go. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Amen. We start our discussions on the topic walking in victory. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 says, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ." We are designed to reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. All human beings are born with the sin nature. The sin nature makes us victims of Satan, makes us victims of sin, and makes us victims of the consequences of sin. The manifestation of the spirit of death, I'm talking about sicknesses and diseases, I'm talking about poverty, I'm talking about failure, I'm talking about rejection, being under, being afflicted. That's what it means to be a victim, being slaves, having no say in the way our lives are run. That is the life we were used to under Satan. Being victims, being under, being afflicted, you know, complaining, murmuring, but having no power to change anything. So every human being inherits the sin nature and becomes a victim. However, the good news for us, what makes the gospel good news for us, is the fact that God has made provision for victims to become victors. God has made provision for victims to become victors. Wow. It's amazing what happened when Jesus went to the cross. It's amazing what happened. There was a work of substitution there. And I always like to have that at the back of my mind, because that for me is the story of transformation, the metamorphosis, the place of change. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. On that cross, Christ took my place, I should have been there because the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus went on that cross, taking my place, and paid the full price for sin. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The punishment for my peace was on him. It's amazing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who himself bore our sins on his body on the tree. So, Jesus paid fully the price for sin, the wages for sin on the cross. He paid fully on my behalf. So, the most exciting dimension to it is the fact that, yes, when he went on the cross, he went as a victim. It seemed like he was a failure. But on the third day, the power of God went into hell, threw back the power of Satan, and brought the Lord Jesus Christ up, put him in his body. He was resurrected. Amazing. So, that victory over sin and over death, that resurrection, has been credited into my account. That is the greatest news in this world. That is the greatest. Now, leveraging that to experience victory in our personal lives, that is our quest right now. That's what a lot of people don't know exactly what to do. And that's why we're sharing this today. But I'd like to describe from Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, what Christ did. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, from the Message Bible. Let's read this from the Message Bible. Thank you, Lord. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. I'm just trying to describe what Jesus did when he died and when he resurrected. He won big and won forever over Satan. But the good news here is that all of that has been credited into your account and credited into my account. That's why God leads us in a triumphant procession. Because in those days, when you went to war, you won the battle or you won the war, you took the spoils of war, took as many people as you could take, you took as much of the goods and as much of the money of the enemy as you could take. And when you came back, everybody in the city was lining up the streets on both sides. And there was a triumphal procession. And the Bible is describing that Christ went into heaven in triumphal procession, just like the psalmist had prophesied. Who are you, O you gates? He said, be lifted up, you everlasting doors. Be lifted up, you gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. Jesus walked back into heaven in triumphal procession. And you know the exciting thing? In God's book, you and I were part of that triumphal procession. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says that God has shown us mercy, forgiven us our sins. And in verse 6, the Bible says that God raised us up together with Christ and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So not only has his death and resurrection be credited into your account, which means your sins have been totally forgiven. Okay? His ascension into heaven and his current position has been credited into your account. Now, if you follow this trail of thought, you will realize there is absolutely nothing about the life of a Christian, the way God planned it, that looks like being a victim. Absolutely nothing. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "Don't you know that those of us who were baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death?" Verse 4 says, "Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from death by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life." The provision has been made. His death was credited into your account. His resurrection was credited into your account. It says, the only thing left now is for you to walk in victory. Live a new kind of life. Amazing. Live a new kind of life. So that's what we want to be discussing this season. So we find out exactly how does this become our reality. Christ's victory has been credited into your account and has been credited into my account. I love that. Some of us have been so used to being victims, we need now to learn how to walk in victory. We need to learn how to be victors. We need to learn how to be victors. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Amazing. The provision in God's word is that we overcome. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So not only have our sins been forgiven, our nature has changed and our status has changed. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. If you are here in this service and the reality of your life, the story of your life is one loss after the other. You know, one tragedy after the other. Okay? One attack of Satan after the other. You need to switch over to that dimension where it is one victory after the other. I pray that today that becomes your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. One victory after the other. We are in a triumphal procession. Unending victory. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So this is the starting point. To become a child of God. To acquire the nature of God. To receive forgiveness through what Jesus did on the cross. Not only are our sins forgiven, the nature of sin is removed. Then we share the same nature with God. The nature of God is a nature of victory. They do not mourn defeat in heaven because they don't know defeat. God's nature does not know defeat. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. God's nature does not know defeat. God's nature only knows victory. The days of losses in our lives, those days are over. The days of losing battles, those days are over. Those days are over in the name of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." It's in the past tense. If it happened on the cross, it happened. If it was a reality, then it is a reality. But of course, when we look closely at that verse, we see where the real issue is. 1 John 5, 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Faith. Faith, that's where it is. So what God has done is one thing. What you believe is actually what determines your ultimate outcome. I must confess, though, that switching over from victim mentality to victor mentality is hard work. Listen, it is not something that God has designed for you to achieve by yourself, and that's why you still have a lot of Christians who are losing battles in their lives because they are fighting those battles themselves. I'll say that again. There are many Christians who are losing battles in their lives because even though God has made provision for them to walk in victory, they are fighting the battles themselves. This thing was designed to run on the platform of God's grace. It is not something that you are going to do. It is something that you have done. It is not who you are going to be. It is who you have become already. What Jesus did on the cross finished everything. There's nothing left for you to do. The key factor here is believe. On the platform of what you believe, you speak and you take actions. Let me describe this from Numbers 13. Numbers 13. The lamb was slain on the behalf of each family in Israel. The blood was splashed on the doorpost. That was the Passover. Thank you, Jesus. The days of destruction of being victims passed over with the killing of the lamb, with the shedding of the blood. Remember, 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. See, what happened that day was a massive status change. The lamb that was slain took the place of the slave, took the place of the victim. The old Israelite who was a slave died that night. That was what changed the whole equation. Changed everything. So whatever it was that could afflict the Egyptians could not afflict them anymore. Two, their own status changed. That's why they could walk up to anybody, ask for what they wanted. They got the gold, they got the silver. Their status changed. Those who could hold them in slavery could not hold them anymore. They pushed them out. Their status changed. Bear that in mind. But these same set of people got to the border of Canaan, the promised land, the territories God had designed for them to take over. They got to the border. Listen to the words of their mouths. Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14. We are not able to take this land. We are bread for them. They will kill all of us. We are dead. What are we doing? Let's go back to Egypt. Same people. Their fate was in being victims. It wasn't in being victors. They didn't know how to be victors. All their lives, they had been used to being victims. And they didn't adjust their mindset to align with the provision that God had made. What they were claiming was not their reality. The one that was a slave, the one that was weak, that was powerless, had died the night that that lamb died. And that's exactly what I'm saying to you today. I don't know how you describe yourself. I don't know. Some people talk about the fact that they have ancestral curses. Some say because of their birth order, then they are entitled to some problems or some curses. But I just want to say to you, there are two dimensions from which you can define your identity. It can either be rooted in who you were before you met Christ, or it can be rooted in who you are after that you have met Christ. You've got to make a choice. The people in Numbers 13 made a choice. It was the wrong choice. They built their identities based on who they were before the lamb, the Passover lamb, was crucified on their behalf. And you know what it did? Led to their destruction. They couldn't go back to where they were coming from, but they also couldn't get to where they were going. They died in the wilderness. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will not be stranded. In the journey of faith, in your journey towards the fulfillment of your destiny, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will not come short. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1 says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Said, for unto us was the word preached as well as unto them. But the word that was preached was not mixed with faith in those who had it. Faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I'll tell you one thing that excites me all the time in the Bible. And it's in the fact that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, read from verse 5, that we discuss wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age that comes to nothing, but the wisdom of God, which God hid from the foundation of the world for our glory. And this is the wisdom. The Bible says that that wisdom, the rulers of this age did not know it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There's something God hid in the death and resurrection of Jesus that he hid from Satan. Satan couldn't see it, and he ended up helping God to fulfill this assignment. That when the innocent man Jesus died on the cross, his death would be credited into the accounts of his brothers and sisters. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But I'm glad to say to you, Satan, it's too late. It cannot be reversed. On the cross, Jesus paid for my sins. Jesus took my place. And God raised him on the third day. And everything God did, he has credited into my account. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Hallelujah. Whatever. Now, this is not whatever. I, Sire, that is born of God, has overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, my faith. I believe absolutely in what Jesus did on my behalf. And I believe that he secured victory on my behalf. So, this is where it starts from. Faith. Believe it. Faith is not believing in your circumstances when your circumstances are perfect. Oh, no. Faith is believing in spiritual reality in spite of your circumstances. It's amazing that Joshua and Caleb would say, you know what? We can take this land. The people are bred for us. I like that. Those were the two people who built their identity on what God had done and finished in the realm of the spirit. So it's either you are like everybody else in town, or you are like God, you have God's nature, and you accept that as your reality. You ask me, so Joshua and Caleb, is it that they had fought any battles? Is it that they had killed any giants? Oh no, oh no. What each person described was a function of their imagination. But on the inside of them, they were conquerors. They were victorious. But this other group of people, the majority, they were victims of their circumstances. In the name of Jesus Christ, I receive the empowerment of the Spirit for you today to rise above weakness. I receive the empowerment of the Spirit for you today. For the weapons of our warfare are not man-made. They are powerful through God to pull down strongholds. Casting down imaginations, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and making captive every thought, making them obedient to Christ. I pray in the name of Jesus that as you fight the battles in your mind about who you are and what your position is, I pray that revelation will flood your spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will understand who you are, understand your identity outside of your circumstances. I pray that by the revelation of what Christ has done for you and what's been credited into your account, your identity will be rooted in victory. The days of being victims are over in the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 6 verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law. You are under grace. I pray in the name of Jesus that you experience victory, that it becomes your second nature. I pray in the name of Jesus that your language will be the language of victory. And I pray in Jesus' name that as what you say lines up with God, what God has provided for you, the power of the Holy Spirit will move on your behalf. as you walk out of this place today, or if you're watching on TV, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy, you tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and I declare nothing shall by any means hurt you. As you say it, so you shall see it. The days of oppression are over. Anyone has been experiencing oppression in the dreams, I paralyze the activities of demons in your dreams in the mighty name of Jesus. Both when you are awake and when you are asleep, the power of the Spirit of God will hold Satan at bay on your behalf. Walk in victory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. People who walk in victory celebrate. People who are victims complain. I pray in the name of Jesus that as your image, your revelation about yourself changes on the inside, I pray also that your language will change. And as your language changes, your circumstances will turn around in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Well, let me pray with that honest person in this service who says, Pastor, please pray with me. Pray with me. My relationship with God is not okay. I don't want to be a victim of Satan anymore. I don't want to be a victim of sin. I don't want to be a victim of circumstances. I want to fulfill my destiny. That victory that you said Christ secured on the cross, I want it credited into my account. If you're that honest person, can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? I'm a sinner. My relationship with God is not okay. I want God to forgive me. Can you please put your hand on your heart? Let's say this short prayer together. God bless you. Perhaps you've even been a Christian before, but you've backslidden into sin. God forbid you die. You appear before God today, you are not absolutely certain you will make heaven, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can you please also put your hand on your heart as we pray? Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters. They've prayed, and we know you've forgiven their sins. And Lord, the miracle has happened. The nature of sin is removed from them. Your nature is in them now. Thank you, Lord. Teach them to know you, to love you, and to serve you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.